We're turning to the book of Proverbs, and I want to leave with you a verse that you will find in Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs chapter 28, and moving down into almost the middle of the chapter to verse 13. And it's Solomon, the king of Israel, when he said these words, "He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." As you know from the word of God, that Solomon, the king, was one of the wisest, if not the greatest, of all the kings of Israel. We read in the word of God how that he was chosen and inspired by the Holy Spirit to write three books of the Bible, of the Old Testament. Do you remember that he wrote that wonderful book called the Song of Songs? And someone has said that it's a book of secrets. It's a mysterious book, but yet it's a marvelous book. And you can only get to know it by coming to know the heavenly bridegroom as your savior. Remember reading about a young girl on one occasion. She got a book for Christmas from a friend. She looked at the cover, she wasn't impressed with it, and she just put it away. Then one night she went to a party, and there she met this young man, and she discovered that he was the author of the book. She fell in love with this young man immediately, and when she got home, she couldn't wait to read the book, and she thought it was the greatest book that had ever been written. What made the difference? She had fallen in love with the author. And when you're able to say, "My beloved is mine, and I am his," then the Lord brings you into his banqueting house, and you know the secrets of love that he shares with those that love him. So the Song of Solomon is a book of secrets. Then the book of Ecclesiastes was also written by Solomon. And again, it's a very strange book. And Solomon, as it were, as a young man, is on a journey, trying all the pleasures and every pathway of sin that life could offer. And yet as he comes to the end of each avenue that he has traveled, he cries out, "Vanity of vanities, all is vanity." The word vanity simply means empty. And he found that the pleasures of sin only lasted for a season. And so it's a book of searches. And Solomon only comes to peace when he comes to know God and to put his faith and trust in him. And then, of course, he wrote the book of Proverbs. And the Song of Solomon is a book of secrets, and Ecclesiastes is a book of searches. Then we discover that the book of Proverbs is a book of sayings. And most of the Proverbs which are contained in this book were written by Solomon himself. And in 1 Kings chapter 4 and verse 32, it's recorded how that Solomon uttered something like 3,000 Proverbs, of which many of them were recorded in this book. Old Henry Law, a preacher, said that the book of Proverbs is heaven's law for life on earth. And if only men and women could learn from this distilled wisdom of Solomon, the book of Proverbs, and acknowledge him in all their ways, then they would discover that the Lord would direct their paths, and they would know the blessing of God which maketh rich. Now, when we come to this proverb that we want to take for our text tonight, it's a very simple and yet it's a very solemn proverb. And Solomon says, "And the one who is greater than Solomon, even the Lord himself tonight, would utter these words, and he would say, 'He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy.'" And I want to consider with you very simply, but I trust helpfully, three things that are found in the service of this great text of Scripture. And you'll notice, first of all, that we have an established fact. An established fact is brought before us. And Solomon says, "He that cover of his sins. And that word he takes in the whole of humanity, the whole of the human race. And Solomon says of the human race, north, west, east and south, the whole world, he that covereth his sins. And it is an established fact that men and women always want to cover and to conceal their sin. My, because of our old fallen nature that we've inherited from Adam, we want to cover and to conceal our sin. Here's an established fact that no one can deny, that men and women and sinners always want to conceal their sin. Isn't that something which we learn even from the story that we read in the book of Genesis, the third chapter? And you remember when Adam and Eve were confronted with their sin, that Adam blamed the woman, "That thou givest me." And then the woman, she blamed the serpent. And men and women ever since that have been blaming everyone else because of their sin. And what Adam and Eve did has been practiced right down through the history of the human race, within and without the word of God. You remember Cain and how that Cain concealed his sin and he buried his brother in the ground, and the voice of Cain cried to God in heaven for vengeance. And God cried out to Cain, in spite of the fact that he tried to cover his sin and to say, "Am I my brother's keeper?" God said, "What hast thou done?" Then you'll remember again how that we're told in the word of God concerning a King David. David, the man after God's own heart that we were learning about last week. A godly man, and yet David fell into terrible sin that was to cause the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme in their day and generation, and even for generations to come. And David tried to conceal his sin, and how that he tried to get Uriah drunk and in the state of drunkenness, that he didn't know what had happened, whether or not he had slept with his wife and conceived. And then he put him in the forefront of the battle, ordering the soldiers to withdraw. And then Uriah the Hittite was killed. And David, the man after God's own heart, my, he covered up his sin. And David tried to conceal what he had done from human view. And again, as you read into God's word, we think of those like in the New Testament, and Ananias and Sapphira. We think of Judas Iscariot. We think of Pontius Pilate, and how Pontius went and he took a basin of water and he washed his hands and he said he was innocent of the blood of this man, and he tried to cover and conceal his sin. An established fact that men and women in every day and generation born of Adam's race seek to conceal their sin. And it's absolutely true of your experience in life that you always try to conceal your sin. Shouldn't tell you this, but I will. When I was a young fellow, about 10, 11 years of age, every wee boy in Belfast had a job. Now, you didn't get pocket money thrown at you the way they do today. If you wanted a shilling to go to the pictures, you had to work for it. And I can remember as a young boy getting a job in a chemist's shop. And upstairs there was a store, and there was this big box of cough sweets. And it was about this size. And every time I went up into the store, I took a handful and put them into my pocket. Didn't even like the things. I mean, they were rotten. And I would chew them, but you know, that's what you do. And I remember coming into the chemist shop one day, and the big box was sitting on the table. And the man says, "Young fella, come here, man." He says, "Do you know anything about this?" He says, "This box was full of sweets." And he says, "It's near empty now. Do you know anything about that?" And you know, with the innocence of an archangel, I protested my innocence. I knew nothing about it. I don't know how this happened, but I know this. I never touched them again. You see, it was like a wee boy. The Sunday school teacher asked the class, "What is a lie?" And he said, "Please, miss, a lie is an abomination unto the Lord, but a very present help in the time of trouble." And I was just like that wee boy. And you know how readily A lie comes to the mouth, isn't it? And you don't have to teach a child to tell a lie. You have to teach a child to tell the truth. Why? Because he's born in sin and shaping in iniquity. And he's just doing what his first father and mother did in the Garden of Eden. And exposed, here we have an established fact that men and women try to cover sin. But then as you look into God's word, we have not only an established fact brought to our attention, but we have an exposed folly. We have an exposed folly. And I want you to grasp this. It says, he that covereth his sin, then listen to these three words, shall not prosper. Shall not prosper. He that covereth his sin, listen, shall not prosper. And here's an exposed folly. God says, even if you try and you cover your sin, you'll not prosper. Do you know why? Because God says in his word, be sure your sin will find you out. And again, it's written in God's word, is it not? God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And if we sow to the flesh, we shall reap corruption. And beloved, unsaved person, get this into your heart tonight. An exposed folly. You'll not prosper in your sin. Eventually your sin will find you out. You go back into the word of God right to the beginning and you think of Lucifer and you remember he was the one that was the guardian of the throne, and you look into Ezekiel in the book of Isaiah and his jealousy and envy entered into the heart of Lucifer and he said, I will be like the Most High. And he thought he could prosper in his rebellion. And the Lord Jesus said, I saw Satan fall from heaven as lightning. Even the devil himself in the end didn't prosper. And one day he'll be cast into the lake of fire with the beast and the false prophet and the devil for all eternity. Then you look at our first parents and Adam and Eve. My, they're naked and they're afraid. And they're being cast out of the Garden of Eden. They lost everything because of the rebellion. My, they had paradise, everything that the eye could desire. And they lost it all because of sin. Because the Bible says, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. That's what Adam and Eve tried to do, cover their sin with the fig leaves. But their sin found them out. And you can see them standing outside of the Garden of Eden, and now they're in a world that's contaminated and ruined and wrecked by the fall and by sin. Then watch them as they stand and they look at the body of their son Abel as they've been slain and murdered, and tell me this, when they look at that body and that blood that had been shed by their eldest son when he murdered Abel, his own son, their own son, tell me this, did they prosper in their sin? No, they discovered that the way of the transgressor is hard. And I can hear Cain tonight in a lost eternity. And he's crying, my punishment is greater than I can bear for all eternity. And then I think of Moses. And you remember Moses went out and he spied an Egyptian smiting one of the Israelites, and anger took place in his heart, and he rose up and he slew the Egyptian and he buried him in the sand, and eventually his sin found him out. And you know what happened? Because of his sin, he didn't prosper. And for 40 years, those middle 40 years of his life was spent in the wilderness leading sheep when he should have been leading a nation. And leading the children of Israel out of the land of bondage. Did Moses prosper? No, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. Then I think of Achan. You remember Achan coveted what God had claimed for himself. And he took of the garments and silver and the gold and the other things that God had forbidden. And then they were defeated at Ai, and my, they each tribe was examined, and each head of the house Achan has found out and he says, I have sinned. And Achan is taken out with his wife and his children and they're stoned to death. And as you see the stone smashing into the body of that family, tell me, did Achan prosper in his sin? No, he didn't. He lost everything because of that act of rebellion and transgression against the word of God. Then you look again and you think of Pontius Pilate. Did he prosper in his sin when he washed his hands and he tried to get rid of Christ by handing him over the crowd? You know, history tells us that Pontius Pilate went back to Rome and back to Italy and he fell out of favor with the Caesar at that time. And eventually he committed suicide and took his own life. Tell me, did he prosper? He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. And my friend, let me emphasize it tonight in this meeting, no matter who you are or who you think you are, God says he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. And you will not prosper in life, and you will not prosper in death, and you will not prosper in eternity when the great white throne judgment takes place and the books are open. And my every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. And every one will discover that he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. Be sure your sin will find you out. It can find you out in your mind and your conscience. Do you know what a doctor said? And I want to be careful when I say this. I was listening to a program on the radio and a psychiatrist was being interviewed. Do you know what he said? He said, I could send most of my patients home if I could only give them peace. They have no peace. And I'm not saying that everybody ends up in a mental hospital is there because of sin. But I want to tell you this. When sin gets into the life and takes over, it can rob you of peace. Rob you of peace. And find you out in your conscience. And there's men and women and have no peace because of a troubled conscience. And it can find you out in your body. Can find you out in your body. Well, I could take you to hospitals tonight. Very sad ward and department. Men and women go in and they found out because of the lifestyle that they've been living that sin finds them out in their body. You know, I think of one man and he had a little girl born into the family and discovered that she was born blind. And the man who was her father was a very wealthy, prosperous businessman. Money was no object. And he took her to the best specialist that money could buy. And eventually the specialist had to sit him down and say, there's nothing I can do for your little girl. And the father was outraged and he stood at his feet and he said, I'm willing to give you whatever money can buy. Money's no object and you tell me there's nothing you can do. And he started to blame the surgeon. The surgeon calmed him down and he said, sir, listen, if you hadn't been living the lifestyle that you lived, you transmitted that blindness to your child. Sin had found him out in his body. And found him out even in his family. Listen tonight, an exposed folly. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. Sin will find you out in the end. But you know, as I look into God's word, there's not only an established fact and there's an exposed folly. But listen, there's an exceptional finish here. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. Well, that's the sad news, but here's the good news. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. And you take that trilogy of words together. Confesseth, forsaketh, and mercy. There you see the steps in God's so great salvation. There's God's so great salvation. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Look first of all at the word confesseth. You know, that speaks of acknowledgement. That speaks of acknowledgement. When you confess something, you own up to it. You confess it. You remember the Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. And the hardest thing for a man or woman to say, or young person, is this: I have sinned. 10 times you find that phrase in the Word of God spoken by 10 different people. I have sinned. And the hardest thing to do is to get a man or woman or a young person to have Holy Ghost honesty before God and to say, I have sinned. It's nobody else. It's not him or her. But I have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I wonder tonight, do you realize that's the first step, is acknowledgement, confessing your sin, if you're going to get right with God. He that confesseth his sin shall, and forsaketh them shall find mercy. But then notice not only the word confesseth, but notice the word forsaketh. And if confesseth speaks of acknowledgement, forsaketh speaks of abandonment. You know, when you forsake something, it means to have done, to be done with it or to give it up. And that's basically the idea of repentance in the Word of God. You see, we live in a day when people want to have their cake and eat it as far as salvation. They want sin and salvation. They don't want the old way of God's Word of forsaking sin. And the Bible says, let the wicked forsake his way. And it's only when you forsake your way then will the Lord abundantly pardon. Abandonment, being willing to repent, being willing to forsake, being willing to turn your back upon sin. That's a hard thing to do. People don't want to do it. You know, William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, he said this: the time will come when they'll preach salvation or Christianity without repentance. And you know, we live in such a day today. People can claim to live whatever lifestyle they like that is condemned in the Word of God and profess to be saved. What a delusion. You see, the Bible says only those who confess and forsake shall have mercy. Tell me, can you look back in your life when you did an about turn? You turned your back upon your sin. That's what the prodigal did when he said, I will arise and go to my father. He turned his back upon the pigsty and the old sinful way of life. And he discovered that there's bread enough and to spare in the Father's house. And all he had been looking in the far country was already there in the Father's house to meet his need. And thank God in heaven tonight, in the Father's house, all that you need for salvation is found in God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you have this word confesseth that speaks of acknowledgement, this word forsaketh that speaks of abandonment. And then notice this word of mercy, this word mercy, and that speaks of atonement. That speaks of atonement. You know, as you read the Old Testament, you'll find this, that God's mercy is always joined with atonement. And read the book of Leviticus and read about the offerings and the great lesson that comes from the shedding of blood and the sacrifices that are offered up is this: it is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. And the apostle Paul reminds us, does he not, that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And this is why the Bible is full of the message of the blood, that it's through the blood and the blood alone that you can have peace with God and assurance of a home in heaven, and that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. Oh, atonement. I wonder, do you realize tonight that the only sin that God can't forgive is the sin that you're not willing to confess. And if you're willing to confess your sin, thank God He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us by His blood from every sin. You know, I was reading a true story. It was concerning a man in America, and he committed a foul murder, terrible crime against humanity, killed another man. His brother, who was a powerful influence and a good man, went to the senator and he pleaded for pardon, that the senator, the governor rather, would use his prerogative and grant him pardon, and in exceptional cases that could be done. And so he so earnestly pleaded on behalf of his brother that the governor decided to exercise his prerogative and to grant pardon. The brother went to the condemned cell to meet up with his brother, had the pardon in his pocket. He said to his brother, "Tell me," he said, "if you were to get a pardon here and now, what would you do?" His brother, filled up with anger, he said, "The first thing I would do, I would get out of here. I would murder that judge that sentenced me. And I would murder those people that were witnesses against me." He said, "I would murder every one of them." And you know, that brother just turned. He walked out of the condemned cell. He didn't offer the pardon to his brother because there was no remorse or repent or true regret for the sin he had committed. And isn't that you tonight? You're in the condemned cell. "He that believeth not," says the Bible, "is condemned already." And the Lord comes with pardon. And he says, "He that confesseth his sin and forsaketh them shall have mercy." And tonight, because you're not willing to repent, the Lord says, "You will not come to me that you might have life." And you're not willing to repent, then you cannot have the joy and the benefit of God's salvation. You know, I think of a young, during the last war, young German soldier was seriously injured in a battlefield and he was captured by the British forces. He was taken into the Red Cross tent. He was very ill. He had been bleeding to death. And the surgeon said to him, he said, "The only thing that will save your life is a blood transfusion. Are you willing to have that?" And under the terms, he could either accept it, the Geneva Convention, he could either accept it or reject it. And the young German looked up with defiance in his eyes and he said, "I would rather die and take the blood of a British soldier." He rejected the blood and eventually he passed away into God's eternity. There's some here tonight, and God has made the greatest sacrifice of all in the blood shedding of his son on the cross, and you're here tonight and you're ready to trample underfoot the blood of Christ, and you'd rather go to a lost eternity than to go to God's heaven. Oh, the Bible would exhort you tonight, come to Christ. "He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." Come every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord, and he will surely give you rest by trusting in his word. Come and come to Christ tonight.